In this very, very, very busy life, we can lose the rhythm of rest and work. All around us in the world, we see this rhythm of ebb and flow and back and forth, and one thing changes and moves into another, not being the same thing. Have you ever stood at the ocean and just watch the waves kind of come in and then they stop for a minute and they back into the ocean? There's just something about that that's kind of a reminder of life itself. Even day going into night, that change that is associated with activity and work, and then there's that movement into darkness and slumber and sleep. Even think about your own heart right now. Think about it. We don't think about our hearts very much, do we? Maybe we do. Maybe if we've had an episode with our hearts in the recent past, or maybe we're on medication or have a heart rhythm problem. That's a very, very, very vital organ to life, is it not? Do you realize that for the average person, the heart beats about 100,000 times a day? But it doesn't beat constantly. Even with the heart itself, something that provides life, there is a rest, a very short, perceptible rest between beats. Even when you have your blood pressure taken, you know what it is. It's called the systolic and the diastolic. And the systolic measurement is what happens when the heart is pumping, the pressure within your blood vessels and your arteries when the heart's pumping. And then there's the diastolic. That's that second number. That's the number that I have trouble keeping down, and that's one reason I take blood pressure medication. That's the pressure of your heart when it's at rest. Movement, rest, movement, rest, movement, rest, life. You see it even in the reality of all of us needing sleep. How many of you feel more energized and excited about, go ahead and move to the next picture where I'm tired of looking at that pumping heart. Confession to make here, I had a hard time finding just the right pumping heart picture to get my point across without making anybody sick or it being too simple, and I thought that was the perfect one. What about sleep? What about the importance of getting enough rest and enough sleep? You think about this, the what experts tell us about needing the right amount of sleep and how important it is to life. And not only with sleep, but with other things in life, there are times that we can feel like we're out of rhythm, that maybe we're not mixing and blending that element of activity along with the proper amount of rest. And we all need it. That's a bear and her cub. And although I did a little research this week about bears, and did you know that bears do not hibernate? How many of you knew that bears do not hibernate? Oh, okay. That's some new information. They actually technically don't go into hibernation, like, for example, like a chipmunk would. A chipmunk whose heart beats about 350 beats a minute, when that chipmunk goes into hibernation, I mean, it really goes into hibernation, and the chipmunk's heartbeat, when it's in the full state of hibernation, it beats about four times a minute. Four times. In a deep, deep sleep, barely, that heart barely moving, and yet it's necessary for that animal to go through this experience. It wakes up a little bit every now and then, every few days, does what it needs to do, and then goes back to sleep. A bear is in a deep state of sleep, but not really in hibernation, can sleep 2 or 3 days. But that's all a part of what we see even in nature itself. Even plants, think about it. many plants are not going to be as productive and fruitful as they're intended to be or they're made to be unless they go through a period of dormancy and have enough inactivity in order to have strong seeds and to produce fruit as well. And so this whole idea of this sense of rhythm and balance between activity and rest, in this rhythm between work and pausing, I think sometimes if I were to ask you, do you ever have a problem with that? Anybody? Do you? How many of you? I'm just curious. How many of you have said over the last two or three weeks, "Oh, I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. I'm having a hard time getting everything done." It's just we're stressed and we're on edge, and there are times that maybe we're not pressing that pause button in life to pause for the right things when maybe we're just kind of running straight through and we're not, you know, contemplating, thinking, stopping the way we need to stop. In extreme cases, living a life that never pauses or hardly ever pauses or doesn't pause the right way can end up being a life that is totally out of sync and even a life of chaos. Several of us in the staff meetings through several months, we read a book written by Terry Looper called Sacred Pace. And he talks about just finding and discovering in his own life this place where he could have a sense of equilibrium with everything that he had on his plate. And he was somebody who was worked as a major important person in a multi-million dollar company. He was going to meetings all the time. He was traveling. He was working. And in his life, he got to the point where he just pretty much shut down. When he describes it in his book, I want you to hear what he says. He says, "I hit that wall one life-altering Saturday at our home, a couple of months after Ken's decision to sell the company. After ignoring month upon month of warning signs, I suddenly could not get out of bed. It felt like the oxygen had been turned off in my brain, making it impossible for me to even lift my head from the pillow. This was more than just a physical sensation. It was emotional, spiritual, mental, a shutdown on every level. My predominant feeling was that my brain had quit, just like that, and I was having a nervous breakdown. My brain had stopped so abruptly, it was as if someone had thrown a rock into my gears." And he goes on to say in this particular chapter that it was the next day that he was scheduled to be appointed as an elder at the church where he attended. But admits in terms of his relationship with God and what was going on in his life, in terms of how he lived, in terms of his priorities, in terms of his actions, in terms of his attitudes, everything was focused on work and making money and being successful to the point that he reached in his own life where he was just about ready to shut down. And so I think about what God is trying to say to us and what God said to his people in the Old Testament. As the Ten Commandments and other laws are received and God is giving a core of Ten Commandments that represent the core of everything that other laws flow from. Why he would include in those Ten Commandments one that says, remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you'll work, but on that seventh day I want you to Shabbat. I want you to rest. I want you to cease. I want you to stop. I want you to pause. For the Jew who lived under the Old Covenant, the Sabbath day was a day of focus. It was a day of worship. It was a day of family. It was a day of renewal. And this principle of pausing and resting was important enough that God, in those Ten Commandments, along with not lying and not killing and not committing adultery and not having any other gods before God, there is this law, this commandment to pause, to remind them and to remind you and me that life is not meant to be an endless series of nonstop activity. That the importance of pause and worship and reflection and family and one's core relationship with God was worth a day. I mean, we're talking serious business. Read some of the Old Testament passages related to the Sabbath law, and you will see very clearly that it was important enough to God that there were very serious consequences and very serious punishments associated with someone who didn't pay attention to the Sabbath law and what it was trying to teach. In fact, God is saying, this is so important, if you ignore it, I want you to understand how important it is. It was a time and an opportunity to pause and not only reflect and rest from work, it was a time to focus on God, and it was a time to remember that what they had, what they earned, what they produced was not just all about them. Even they needed to remember with all their work and all their labor and all the things they were doing and should be doing that ultimately it was God who provided them lives and abilities and opportunities to work and serve and earn. And I know whenever we talk about this principle of Sabbath, I understand this. I understand that we are not under the Sabbath law, as it's expressly expressed in the Old Testament. I understand that we do not look at or should not look at the Sabbath law just like the Jews looked at the Sabbath law. I mean, Paul himself says it in Colossians chapter 2. He says this in verse 16, therefore don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And so you had in Colossae, there was this strange mixture, this heresy being taught that took some pre-Gnostic ideas about special knowledge and additional experiences, and it was kind of mixed in with some Jewish ideas related to observing days, and some of these people were getting caught up in obeying these additional laws and having to do these additional things in addition to faith in Christ that would make them full or complete or better or more spiritual. And Paul says, listen, don't let anybody bind upon you and make as law something that is not required as law to make you more full or complete or better in Christ. No, nothing is better than being in Christ and relying upon Christ. But yet, let's not miss the overall point about this rest, pause, Sabbath principle. And while the early church, as it grew and developed, it was clear that the focal point of the day of remembrance and a day of worship and a day of assembly was that first day of the week when Jesus was raised from the dead, when they remembered Jesus in the Lord's Supper, most of us know Acts 20. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. In the book of Revelation, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And almost every scholar will say, when he mentions that in the way that he does in the historical context, he's talking about the first day of the week. Post-apostolic leaders, right after the apostles, spoke about this first day of the week when Christians came together and worshiped and encouraged each other and took the Lord's Supper. And so the Lord's Day is not necessarily meant to be viewed like the Christian Sabbath. But there are certain similar elements. And it's clear that that principle of rest and reflection and pausing was so important that God said, not only must you do it this day, but all of your servants and even all of your animals need to take a day of rest. Because if you don't, you think that life is all about working and doing and earning, and you fail to miss out on some of the most important things. In the day of Jesus, if I were to ask you what was the most frequent issue of conflict between Jesus and the Jewish leaders or the people that he interacted with, what was the biggie? Somebody tell me. I've been talking about it, okay? The Sabbath. The majority of the conflict that comes out in the life of Jesus relates to what he says about the Sabbath and what he does on the Sabbath. And that's because the Sabbath had eventually, over time, not only with the Sabbath laws that were present in the writings of the Old Testament scriptures, but through the centuries, you had people who wrote up more and more and more about what it meant to obey the Sabbath and to keep the Sabbath and what was a violation of the Sabbath. So by the time you reach the time of Christ, there's hundreds of years of tradition and oral teaching, and some of this is written down, that people had so they could obey the Sabbath and not break it, because breaking the Sabbath was serious business. And yet in all of that, for many of them, the original purpose of the Sabbath, the original meaning of the Sabbath had been totally lost, because the Sabbath had become about this law that had to be obeyed. And if you don't obey this law closely, if you don't do exactly what it says, and if you don't do this, you're violating it and displeasing God. And Jesus says, you've missed the whole point. So when he and the disciples, they're walking through a grain field on the Sabbath day, and they're reaching up and grabbing some grain and cleaning it off the chaff and then eating it, they're being watched and they're being told, you're working, you're harvesting on the Sabbath. On that occasion, Jesus rebuked what they said, made a point that even David and his fighting men, when they were tired and in need, did something which technically was not in accordance with the law that they were under, and yet it was consistent with the spirit of that law. They're watching Jesus in Mark 2 to see if he's going to heal a man on the Sabbath day. And Jesus is angry, and he's filled with just this angered hurt in his heart for how they're viewing the Sabbath. That he couldn't heal a man with a withered hand, that would be work. And so it says that Jesus looked at them and told the man to stand up, and right in front of them all, knowing it was going to upset a lot of people, he still did it. But he didn't do it just to upset people. He did it to make a point that the Sabbath had become viewed in such a way, with such a burden, that it was not... experienced, as the Isaiah says, it God wanted them to experience this idea. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, from doing what you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable, then you'll find your joy in the Lord. But for many of them, it was not a delight because it was just another rule. It was just another regulation. It was just another thing to trip them up. And yet when Jesus says, man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for man. It was God's gift. It was God's gracious gift to them, and it had a purpose. And so, it was a way to remind them. The principle is a reminder to us is that we need to pause. We need to slow down. There are times we need to reflect and rest and recharge. And the negative effects of not doing that, I mean, they can take a toll on us. If we're living the kind of life where we feel like we're on that hamster wheel constantly, we're just spinning around and working and going from one thing to another, one thing on top of another, we're juggling everything, we never pause, we're frantic. I mean, try living your life this way. It's not going to work. Let me tell you a couple of things just very quickly here. When we don't pause enough, when we don't reflect enough, when we don't recharge enough, for one thing, we don't enjoy our work. It becomes a burden. And if we're not working from the right place with the right mindset and the right frame of mind, then I'm not going to be as effective in the work that I do. And sometimes we just get into this pattern where we feel like we're living the kind of life that is just one thing upon another, and life is just one big endless obligation, and that's how I view my life. It's just one big burden. I love this book, Sabbath, written by Wayne Muller. It's a classic. I mentioned it in the back of the bulletin. And there's just so many practical good things he says in this book, so I recommend it. I want you to listen to what he says here. He says, without rest, we respond from a survival mode where everything we meet, listen to this, everything we meet assumes a terrifying prominence. When we're driving a motorcycle at high speed, even a small stone in the road can be a deadly threat. So when we're moving in our lives faster and faster and faster, every encounter, every detail inflates in importance. Everything seems more urgent than it really is, and we react with sloppy desperation. And so, if I don't find the time to pause, if I don't make pause a way of life in what I do, I'm going to be someone who not only doesn't work as effectively, but it's going to be hard for me to live in the moment. It's going to be hard for me to act with wisdom and with discernment. And certainly, if I'm just going through life like a whirlwind, I'm certainly not going to see areas and ways that I can serve others or meet their needs. And I tell you what, when I get into this mindset, and I was in this mindset about a year and a half ago, and it wasn't like Terry Looper's experience, but I tell you, I felt like I was that hamster on the wheel. And when you get that way, it is hard to live in the moment. And when you can't live in the moment, and you're just thinking about what's in the future and what you have to do, or this or that, your mind's just racing, you can't be present with somebody right now where they are. Have you ever found yourself in that state of mind, and you're in a conversation with somebody, and you're talking with them, and you're just not there? So, like I'd be talking to Luther right now, and we're looking at each other, and we're talking, but my heart, my mind, my focus isn't with Luther. I'm thinking about something else. I'm thinking about, I've got an appointment. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. and he may be struggling or hurting, and he needs my full attention. But when you get in this state, you can be present, but not present. And it's the same way when we face difficulties. We face a dilemma or a problem or trouble. When we get in this, I've got to do something about it now. I got to take care of it. Right now, I got to fix it. Maybe there are times in this whole principle of pause that I just need to wait, as hard as that may be. And it's kind of like when our lives are kind of muddy and cloudy, like dirt and mud in a jar of water. If you take that and you shake it up, how do you clear things up again with that muddy jar of water? What do, David? You just set it down, and you let it float to the bottom, and things clear up. When we're in a mindset and a lifestyle that never pauses, we take things for granted. We forget the things that are important. We forget to give thanks. We miss out on things that are happening right now because I'm thinking about then, or I'm thinking about the future, and I'm not right here enjoying the sunset or truly enjoying my children. I'm going to talk about this one more week, next week. Let me give you a couple of quick takeaways right now to think about in application. Number one, get enough rest and sleep. And you say, oh, that's a dumb sermon point. It's not, and I know it, because I know some of you are not getting enough rest and enough sleep. And I know what happens to us when we don't get enough rest and enough sleep. 2 weeks ago, like a fool, I stayed up till 3 a.m. doing my taxes. I wanted to find out what my tax return was. I was so excited because I thought I was going to be getting about $1,500, and I wanted to get it done so I could get my tax refund. But as the night went on, the numbers looked worse and worse and worse, and I was thinking as I plugged them in, it can't be, it can't be, it can't be. So at 3 a.m., I discover instead of getting $1,500 back, I'm paying $700. So I, So stayed up half the night working on my taxes. Disappointed, and Jeannie got out of bed and came to the office and said, "Are you still up?" And by then, I was almost crying, I think, at that point. Maybe because I was tired. It was just stupid. Dumb. Try to get enough. The consequences of not getting enough rest. This is God's stuff right here I'm talking about. God created us to rest. Don't feel guilty about taking a nap if you need to take a nap. I mean, studies have shown 20 minutes of a nap in the afternoon can do wonders. Now, maybe you're not a place where you can do that. Number two, and I'll have more to say about this next week, but just be thinking about it. Try to find a way and a day to create a pause day, a Sabbath day. And I'm not talking the Jewish Sabbath, but getting back to the principle that would be helpful and good to be able to have a day that's more about rest and renewal and reflection than it is about work and getting all that stuff done. More next week. And last but not least, establish some planned pauses in your life. Once again, more next week. I know of a dad here that every week, and most weeks it's possible, sometimes it doesn't work out, one day every week, he has set aside to take his daughter out to have breakfast, to talk, to be together, just to spend time with her. That's a planned pause that will make a difference in her life and his life for a long, long time. Take 10 minutes to read your Bible. And I've mentioned this one before. When you get up in the morning, Go to the Lord first. Go to Scripture first. Don't look at that device till you've started in the Word. Even if it's just a devotional or reading a few verses, that's a planned pause. Ultimately, the rest that we receive, and we're still going to be tired in this life, and we're still going to have struggles with our schedules, but ultimately, praise God, our rest is in Jesus. And the book of Hebrews says that in Him, in Jesus, we have found that rest. Right now, peace and security and not chaos, and in eternity, boy, it's going to be great. If you need to respond to Jesus in any way, won't you come as we sing this song?